Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for June 28th, 2019. And boy, it's been quite a week in the news, both locally and nationally. And before we get into the heart of the show here, I do have a correction to make. We're gonna be talking a little bit more about House Bill 2020, the cap and trade bill, and the big, I guess, protest you could call it, from the organization called Timber Unity that happened yesterday. But during last week's show, I think I mistakenly was referring to the bill as SB 2020, which is Senate Bill 2020, and that's not in fact what it is. The Senate, this bill was passed and started originally in the House. It's HB 2020. So I will make that correction from last week. I don't know how I got that mixed up in my head, because in my paperwork it says what it's supposed to be. But nonetheless, we'll make that correction. But before we get to all that, a couple things going on locally. Of course, Rooster Crow is this weekend, kicks off tonight with the community center dinner. And don't have that in front of me. Of course, the menu tonight will be Rooster. It's sponsored by the Rogue River Rooster Crow Committee. And that starts at 5 o'clock, $7 for adults, $3.50 for kids ages 10 and under. And that will kick off Rooster Crow with the community center dinner tonight. Of course, the parade tomorrow at 10. And years past, we've done a Rooster Crow show and kind of gotten all the information. Couple of reasons we're not doing that, which I won't really get into, but nonetheless, we definitely would love to see you out at all of the events. Of course, the human crowing competition, and then the, I believe this year is the 66th annual rooster crowing competition, and there is a car show again this year. That's going to be on Sunday. That's going to be over by Abby's Pizza and Umpqua Bank. Don't know exactly how they're laying that out for that. In the years past, when we had the car show in town instead of over at the school, it's been on Main Street. But this year it will be more around the corner on Pine Street. So you'll definitely want to go check that out. And the last I heard, the Cal Ore River Racers will be running. I mentioned them last week, but I didn't know if they were going to be running or just on display. I don't know if it was last year or the year before last, when water levels were really low. They weren't able to run. But last I heard, they will be running this year, which is excellent news. They're really fun to watch, and you can hear them all over town. I live about halfway up on Broadway, and I can hear it. It comes right up that hill, and you can hear it, you know, feels like you're sitting right next to the river. So that's a whole lot of fun. So just a great weekend, of course, kind of the premier weekend here in Rogue River. And so we're all looking forward to that. We have a new coffee shop in town. Tailholt Coffee finally opened their doors to this morning. They opened at 7 o'clock. I stopped by on my way to the studio and had a sample of their cold brew, and it was as good as I remembered. They had some samples at Rooster Crow. I guess that was last year, and a really, really good cold brew. I enjoyed it. And so check out the new coffee shop here in town, Tailholt Coffee, right next to Subway, right there on Main Street. And take a look at the building, not just how the inside is decorated and finished, which is really beautiful, but the whole building has been completely renovated from top to bottom. And they've put a lot of time and money into fixing it up. And it's, again, it just as much as having a new coffee shop in town, which I think is a cool thing, the building is now beautiful and, you know, a good part of the downtown. And that's not to take anything away from the previous businesses that were in there. We've had some good businesses in that building, but the building itself needed some attention, and it's just gorgeous. It's beautiful. The work that they've done is, you know, is a definite investment into the future of the downtown. And so definitely go check that out. A little bit of controversy going on locally, and I don't have a ton of information on this, but I thought it was worth mentioning. Pacific Power has announced some shutdown zones, and what these zones are is areas where they will shut the power down if there's super low humidity and high heat, so they're worried about fire danger, or high winds that could take down power lines. A lot of different opinions on this. Ultimately, I think it depends on how they exercise this, on how it's going to be received. If this becomes a regular thing where they're shutting power down somewhat willy-nilly, people are going to be angry, and rightfully so. You know, let's take, for instance, here in town, Morrow Heights, a facility for the elderly that need care. Now, I don't know what their backup situation is for power, but a lot of times when places have a backup for their power supply, it's not necessarily enough of a supply to run their heating and air systems. So that can be a problem. If it's the middle of summer and the local old folks' home doesn't have air conditioning, that's a problem. And I'm wondering how they're going to address that. And again, now, do I think someone like Morrow Heights, and I'm just using them as an example because they're here in town, and in town is one of the shutdown areas, should they have their own backup system? Because power can go out whether it's intentional or not. Yeah, they probably should, to protect the health and safety of their residents. But and again, I don't know what they have. I'm just using them as the example. But that doesn't take away from the fact that when you allow the power company to make decisions on whether or not you're going to have power, that's a dangerous thing. You know, a lot of people in this area are on rural properties or even semi-rural properties that are on a well. So when they shut the power off, you don't have water. Now, again, if I'm on a well, should I have a generator that at least can power my well? Yeah, probably a good idea. But the fact of the matter is, not everybody has invested in a generator. And now they're going to have to think about it, that's for sure. But it scares me. It scares me when, whether it's a government or a quasi-government agency, which basically the power company, because of the way that they're regulated and the way that those things work, they're basically a quasi-government agency. I mean, they are a private company, and they do have the liabilities that a government agency wouldn't have, that governments have exempted themselves from certain liabilities. But the way that they're mandated to do things and the way that these kinds of things are controlled, they're basically become a quasi-government agency, and I'm not really comfortable with them controlling the power. But again, the flip side of this is that they want to prevent fires, and that's a good thing. They're really worried about a situation like Paradise, California, where almost an entire town was lost. So again, there's two sides to the story. My biggest concern, however, is how this is going to be exercised, how this power will be exercised, and time will tell. We'll see, just how quick they are to flip the switch. And that's really where it's going to get interesting, is, you know, how often they start doing that, if they actually do it. So probably be a lot more to say about that in the coming months, because right now we're having some unseasonably comfortable weather, and no complaints from me. I work outdoors. I'm more than happy to have the kind of weather we're having, but eventually we're going to get back into the hundreds, and we're going to have some hot, dry days and low humidity days and, you know, threats of thunderstorms and windstorms. And then that's where the rubber is going to meet the road, and we'll see what's going to happen with the power company and those shutdowns. The other thing, or a couple other things going on, we're not going to spend too much time on this. The Supreme Court has been handing down some decisions. One decision that bothers me, and it bothers me on two fronts. One, because I'm not in favor of what they decided, so I'm not happy about it. But it's more that I'm not happy with their reasoning behind the decision they made, and more specifically, Justice Roberts is proving to not be a constitutionalist, not an originalist judge. He's very swayed by pressure and by, you know, maybe even the media. I don't know really what drives him, but he's obviously not, isn't really standing on a lot of principle, and isn't using the Constitution, the application of the Constitution, to make his decisions. And there was a couple of decisions. The one that I'm speaking of was about the census. The Trump administration wants to ask about citizenship on the census because they want to be able to know who's here legally. You know, they still want to count all the people, but they want to know which ones are legal and who's not here legally. And of course, if you're not here legally, you're probably not going to fill out the census if that question is on there, or maybe you'll lie. But there is a crime. It is a crime to lie on the census, but they already committed a crime being here illegally. So I don't know how all that works out. But nonetheless, in this instance, they ruled that, well, legally, the Trump administration can put this question on there, but we don't like their reasoning of why they're putting it on there. Well, that's not your job. The Supreme Court doesn't get to decide the merits of what someone is doing. They're supposed to decide whether or not it's legal, whether or not the Constitution forbids it. So they basically admitted, and John Roberts wrote the decision, and he was the deciding vote in this. He's basically become that swing vote on the court. And so if you thought the swing vote was gone in favor of one more originalist judge, you're mistaken, because Judge Roberts is not an originalist. But back to what we were talking about, there was another case where they said the complete opposite. They said the law allows this, therefore we have to allow this to happen. And then they turn around and reverse themselves in the case of the question on the census about citizenship, and say, well, it's legal, but we're not going to let you do it because we don't like your reason for doing it. And it's not right. It's not the legal, you know, the legal process is being ignored in favor of the opinion of the judge or judges in this case. And so I'm pretty disappointed about that. And again, not just because I don't like the decision, and I don't, but because the reasoning is completely against what their duty as Supreme Court justices are supposed to be. Finally, the debates were this week for the Democrats. They had to split it in two. I don't really have time today to get into a lot of the stuff that was said. The only thing I will, and I'll admit, I didn't watch either one of these. I really, at this point, it's so early, and I'm probably not going to vote Democrat. So I frankly don't care. But I heard enough of the sound bites and whatnot. I could get into it, but I'm not going to. The only thing I will say is I think the Democrats made a mistake. I understand why they split it into two debates, with the you know, the top candidates on the second day and the so-called lesser candidates on the first day, I think that they've done themselves a disservice. If they really want people to pay attention and listen to their views and listen to what they're running on, they should have mixed them up. They should have done, you know, some of the top candidates and some of the lower ones on the first day and then the rest of them on the second day to give people, I mean, it's so early in the process. I think that would have been the smarter thing to do. Hey, I'm not going to vote Democrat. So if they want to do dumb things, I'm not going to stop them. But I think that this early in the process, we're not at a point where you have to, you know, have the children's table and the adults table yet. I think you should have mixed them up. I think it would have been a better debate on both sides on both days. But again, if that's what they think is the best way to do it, I'm not so sure. There were some fun moments. If you want to go back on YouTube and watch them, I'll probably do the same. I had more important things in my life this week than watching a bunch of politicians yell at one another, which is basically what these debates end up being. So that's, again, a lot of stuff going on this week. That's the summary. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Timber Unity protest of House Bill 2020. And we're going to have a special guest on the phone that was at the event yesterday and is going to give us kind of an update of what went on and what she saw. And so we will take a break here and come back and talk about Timber Unity.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Democrats have come up short in their effort to place new limits on President Trump as he tries to stave off growing hostility from Iran rejecting the so-called Udall Amendment. A high-stakes immigration case on the Supreme Court docket for next session before the presidential election. Justices say they will decide whether President Trump can terminate an Obama-era program that shields young migrants from deportation. The decision likely by June 2020 as President Trump ramps up his reelection campaign. A meeting of the remaining partners in the Iranian nuclear deal produced some progress, but not enough to satisfy Tehran's demands. That according to a senior Iranian official. He says it offers little prospect for now of the country backing away from a move to surpass a uranium stockpile threshold that could possibly doom the agreement. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3, The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with Major League Baseball. In the National League yesterday, the Cubs get a save from their new closer and a win over the Braves.
Craig Kimbrell returned to the major leagues and recorded a save as the Cubs rallied by the Braves 9-7. Trailing 6-1, the Cubs stormed back with three runs in the fourth, four in the fifth, and one more in the sixth. Jason Hayward drove in three runs with a pair of hits, while Victor Caratini and Kyle Schwarber hit home runs. Freddie Freeman and Ozzie Albies went deep for Atlanta. Tyler Chatwood lasted five innings to get the win over Josh Tomlin as the two teams split the four-game series. David Schuster, Chicago.
Elsewhere, the Phillies beat the Mets by a 6-3 score. Nationals 8, Miami 5. The Dodgers over Colorado 12-8. Arizona 5, San Francisco 1. In the American League, Texas beat Detroit 3-1. Rays 5, Minnesota 2 in 18 innings. Angels over the A's by an 8-3 score. This is SRN Sports. The All-Star Game lineups are out. The Astros will make up one-third of the AL-9 for the contest in Cleveland on July 9th. Outfielders George Springer and Michael Brantley will join teammate and third baseman Alex Bregman in the AL lineup, along with Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez and New York second baseman DJ LeMahieu. The rest of the AL starters are Indians first baseman Carlos Santana, Twins shortstop Jorge Polanco, Rangers DH Hunter Pence, and Angels outfielder Mike Trout. The Cubs and Braves each have two players in the National League starting lineup. Catcher Wilson Contreras and shortstop Javier Baez will represent the Cubs. The Braves will send first baseman Freddie Freeman and outfielder Ronald Acuna Jr. Also named NL starters, Diamondback second baseman Kettle Marte, Rockies third baseman Nolan Arenado, Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich, and Dodgers outfielder Cody Bellinger. With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And we're going to talk about the Timber Unity protest, I guess you could call it. And they were protesting HB 2020, the cap and trade bill. We talked about it a little bit last week, and I've got a bunch of notes on it, and we'll get to some of that as we have time. But I have a friend that lives in the Salem area that attended the event yesterday and got to listen to some of the speeches, got to see all the trucks and tractors and all the things going on. So we are going to get her on the phone. So let me see if I can get this done right. Tamara, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. This is Tamara Smith, no relation, although she's like a sister to me. We grew up together, and she is working and living up north, up near the dreaded capital of our state. And so you got to attend the event yesterday. First of all, what was your motivation in going to the event? I know you live close by, but what motivated you to go check this out?
I had followed the Timber Unity on social media. I don't watch the news necessarily, but I have a lot of friends that are in the timber industry. So I hooked up on it pretty quick and was following it that way.
Yeah, and that's how I found out about it. The news, at least down here, has done a pretty poor job of covering it. In fact, they mentioned the event on the stations yesterday, but they really didn't say too much. And what they did say, they somewhat mischaracterized what was happening. So,
really?
Yeah, they weren't really too, didn't seem really too interested. And
wow.
I think that the numbers of people were there and the numbers of vehicles and whatnot, I think they were a little surprised at how big it actually was. So let's start with that. I know you have no way of knowing exactly, but I mean, what would you estimate were not only the numbers of people there, but the trucks and the tractors? And I mean, it appeared to me that it had to be, you know, in the thousands is what it looked like to me.
Yeah, definitely. I live actually near the fairgrounds where some of them were meeting in the morning beforehand. So the trucks were rolling in from all over the place, and there were hundreds and hundreds of vehicles that they brought for the protest. They had tractors on rigs that they took off of trailers, and some guys drove their tractors several miles just to get here. And then they had their login trucks, and there were old flatbeds and a lot of really cool different vehicles. For sure, hundreds of vehicles, and for sure, thousands of people were there.
Yeah, and it's crazy because Timber Unity was started on Facebook. It was two guys. It was Jeffrey Levy and Scott Heilman, who are a couple they're truckers or loggers or both. I think they both drive a truck. I don't know what type of trucks. I didn't dig into all of that. But they started a Facebook group called hashtag Timber Unity. I'm imagining with the hashtag, maybe they're on Twitter too. I followed them on Facebook. And now it's the membership on that page alone, and that's just on the Facebook page, is over 43,000 people.
right.
You know, I struggled to get 100 people to follow my radio show, and these people in a very short amount of time have 43,000 members on their page. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So there must have been some speeches that were given. Tell us a little bit about that. What did they have to say, and what takeaways did you have from those?
So there were numerous speakers, and I wasn't as close up to see who the speakers were. But the gist of what they were talking about was the concern about both House Bill 2020 and 2007 too. And their biggest concern is that it's got this, that 2020 especially is going to kill the small town loggers and mill workers with the cap and trade.
Well, and the cap and trade, not only the cap and trade, but the rise in fuel costs and
right.
the restrictions on what type of vehicles they're going to be able to use. I talked a little bit about it last week on the show, so I'm...
I missed your show last week.
No, that's okay, because a lot of people probably did. So, but again, you know, there's so many restrictions in this bill, or at least in 2020, and you mentioned another bill, and I'm not as familiar with that one, but... The restrictions.
That one's specific to the diesel standard.
Okay.
For medium and heavy duty trucks.
Okay. And see, I'm glad I brought you on, because I hadn't spent any time looking at that particular bill. And that's as, that sounds like it's as big of a problem as what they've put into 2020.
It can be, but it's focused on vehicles that are specifically in the Portland metro area.
Okay. Well, but even that presents a problem. One of the things that I saw on the Timber Unity site was somebody that's in the business of distribution of beer and other things. And one of the things that he mentioned, and he kind of directed this at the Portlanders, because Portlanders love their craft beers.
Yeah, they do.
And he said, you know, an $8.99 six-pack of craft beer will now be $12.99 just because of the increase in fuel costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another point that was made on there, and I know this one a little more personally because I've done some work on small fishing boats, mostly crab boats. Seafood prices are going to rise, not only because of the extra transportation cost, but because... I've been on these boats. These boats are old. The engines are old. They don't spend a lot of money. They keep them running on bubble gum and you know, shoestrings and baling wire. They're going to have to upgrade all their equipment, and most of them can't afford it. And
right, the upgrade, across the board is going to be very, very bad.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of, I have a truck that is available in the diesel. I happen to have the gas one, and it's probably a good thing in one respect, because it's a 2007, and anything made prior to 2007 in form of a diesel is not going to be allowed. And so that's part of what they were protesting. You know, I'm sure there was probably mentions of that in one or more of the speeches.
Yes.
So what were the other, were there other takeaways you got from the speeches, and then maybe from the people that you were mingling with that were there at the event?
I think from the speeches, there was also a lot of positive notes about what was going on with the group being there and showing up. That was definitely a strong line that they kept enforcing, that they were just so grateful that so many had shown. And that so many were getting involved on this.
Yeah.
What I enjoyed about the actual thing going on over there was it wasn't just our guys that came in for a day from the work site. It was their families.
Yeah.
They brought their wives and their kids, and their folks were there. And these were generations of families that are from primarily the timber industry. It was pretty powerful.
Yeah, and it's their livelihood that's on the line. I mean, that's bringing, you know, their families being there is a perfect representation of, you know, look, you're putting our jobs at risk. You're putting our livelihood at risk. And there's the reason for these bills is what they claim is they want to help the environment. And I've got some facts on that, but we'll get to that. I'll get to that in a minute. What was their response, if you were able to discern that? What was their response to kind of the pushback that, well, you don't care about the environment?
Which, that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
Of course they care about the environment. And, you know, if... depending on how you look at this industry, these are some of the biggest conservationists in our state. So their concerns, though, is that this is not going to be the best answer, and there could be other ways to go. The the idea that, going back to that House bill, part of it was that if you're a big enough business, then you can buy credits for the gases that you're emitting.
Yeah, you get a carve out.
So you can mitigate, right?
Yeah.
If you are big enough. But the little guys aren't going to have that ability.
Exactly. And that again, it's another case where the government intends to do one thing and they often do almost the opposite, if not the opposite. You know, there were three in particular of the larger timber companies that are in favor of the bill. And I found it interesting.
I saw that.
Well, and I looked at the names and I looked at where they're at, and I had a couple of thoughts about this, and I'm sure that there was some mention of that, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Greenwood Industries is in Worcester, Massachusetts. So they could care less about the Pacific Northwest. I mean, to be honest, they're here for the money that they can make. They're not based here. They don't care about our community. Hancock Forest Management, Vancouver, Washington. Okay, they're in the Pacific Northwest, but they don't necessarily have, you know, a big interest in what happens in Oregon necessarily. And Green Diamond Resource Company out of Shelton, Washington. Now, there's a couple of things. These are bigger companies. So first of all, they may have already invested in the kind of equipment that's going to be necessary to be, you know, compliant. Or they can afford to buy the carve-outs. They can afford to buy the credits that will allow them to pollute as much as they want. Or they don't have a local presence and they really don't care one way or another, so they're supporting the bill. Was there any talk about the companies like that? Even I don't mean necessarily those specific three, but did they have any talk about some of the businesses that have supported this bill?
I can't speak to that. I don't recall.
Okay, because I know, like in some of the media reports and on social media, there was some talk about there was a bunch of companies that were. They were affiliated with a group called, I'm trying to find it in my notes here, Oregon Business for Climate. And Oregon Business for Climate supports the bill. But some of these companies, when they started feeling the pushback of mainly Timber Unity, they started to bail. Now, the first one that came out and said, hey, we don't want any part of this was Dutch Bros. Now, you can definitely, I can understand people going, you know, hey, you're just doing it for your profits and whatever. That's fine. You can feel that way. But my thought was, and I commented on one of the posts on Timber Unity's Facebook page, was, look, you can be upset with these companies and you have every right to be, and you probably should be. But the ones that are saying, okay, we don't want any part of this. They're doing what we wanted them to. We're pressuring them to not be a part of this, and they're not being a part of it. So you have to give them a little bit of credit, don't you? You know?
Right.
But
yeah.
Then more recently, Deschutes Brewing also said, you know, yeah, we're not part of it. Now, again, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Like in the case of Dutch Bros, they said, look, we've been a part of this organization for a while, but we didn't specifically sign on to support 2020. And when this organization decided they were going to support 2020, we had to take a hard look at whether we wanted to stay in their organization, and they decided not to. So I take them at their word that they were never, you know, in support, but there's people that showed correspondence with Dutch Bros that shows a little different story. So I understand that people are upset one way or the other with any one of these companies. But I think what it shows is Timber Unity had a very big effect in this that I don't think anybody saw coming. Was there some celebration of that for sure?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You could just feel it in the air. It was more like a parade, really. You know, people were happy. People were excited at the end of the day. You know, it was raining. It was pretty great. And, you know, these people are out there and they had their flags and they're pulling their horns on their trucks and just, you know, doing circles for hours and hours and hours around the Capitol. And It was a pretty awesome thing to get to see.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I had commented, I'd seen one of your comments on Facebook, and I commented back that I wish I had been there, and I really do. I wish I could have experienced that. And it's something that, you know, again, that I'm definitely against HB 2020 for many reasons. And I'm just, it just warmed my heart to watch all of the posts on Facebook about the event. And when I saw that you had been there, I was like, man, this is great. So again, I'm talking to Tamara Smith. She is a friend of mine, no relation, although again, she's almost like a sister to me. We grew up together. we have an interesting friendship because I almost died because of her, but it's not what you think though. I didn't try and save her from a fire or, you know, from a burning building. It was just that she allowed me to ski on a ski slope I should have never been on. I'm just messing with her a little bit, but, we had a lot of fun as kids, so including skiing, which you were an excellent skier, probably still are, and I am a very novice skier.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. But anyhow, so I had seen that you had been at the event, and so that's why I wanted to get you on the phone. And I got to tell you, your knowledge of this is better than I was expecting, and I appreciate that. I wanted to get kind of some feedback of how the event was, but you've definitely have done your homework on this stuff, and you seem to know a little bit about what's going on, and I definitely appreciate that. Let me get, since I've got you on the phone, if you've got time, can you stay a little longer?
I can stay a few more minutes.
Okay, so I'm going to take advantage of a couple more minutes. I want to get your opinion on some things, and again, I didn't ask you up front how you felt about 2020, but I think you're somewhere in the same camp that I am. And again, I get upset with the mischaracterization that folks like us that maybe oppose this bill, that we just hate the environment. Tell people what you do for a living and what you've done the last several years.
All right. I currently work for the state of Oregon. I work in water conservation.
Oh, so you must really hate the environment then.
Yeah, I really hate the environment. I'm an active fisher and hunter, so that probably makes me another reason I hate the environment.
But definitely.
So, to spin off just a touch there, you know, I listened to coworkers mm-hmm. and how they felt about this rally yesterday, and it was amazing to me how much. There were several that felt that this rally was in the wrong, and you know, these people are, look at them burning their diesel trucks. How much more carbon footprint can they put down today? And one comment was like, "Oh, they're going to bust out all their guns," and it was so like, it was so. This was so not what they were all about.
No,
at all.
No. Well, it never yeah. is. It's you go back to the Tea Party rallies. The one in particular where Glenn Beck, and I'm not a big Glenn Beck fan, so I'm not saying this to toot his horn, but the big event that Glenn Beck put on, the big Tea Party rally, they cleaned up after themselves. It was cleaner after they left than it was when they got there. So this is not who we are. This character, you know, mischaracterization, that's not who people like us are at all, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not. And there, we're not violent people. Owning guns doesn't make you violent. And
no, it doesn't. Makes you safe.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's interesting to hear those. But, you know, I heard, I listened to a podcast, the Dan Bongino Show, and he guests on some other shows. He's been the guest host for Mark Levin several times. And I like his podcast. And what he said, I think, gives the best characterization of the difference between the left and the right now in this country, not necessarily in general, but right now. We think of the left as people with bad ideas. they think of us as bad people with ideas, and that's the difference. They
nice,
have
I like
they
that.
Have an animus for us that we don't have for them. I mean, generally, obviously there's exceptions to that. There's kooks in every group that are hateful
sure.
and whatever, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, that's the difference. And when he said that, it really clicked in my mind. It was like, you're right. That's exactly it. Because if you look at the discussions on Facebook and other places, they get very hateful very quickly. And again, I'm not saying people on our side don't do the same, because they do. But generally, mm-hmm. they come from a position of you're marginalized because you're stupid. And so anything you say after that, it doesn't matter. You know, they discount everything you say because they think you're stupid.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that. And that ties into what you're saying, talking to coworkers. And again, we're not trying to put your coworkers down, but it's interesting to see the other side, how they react to something like this. And again, unfortunately, it sounds like they reacted the way that we would expect them to. You know, President Obama said it well. You know, they cling to their Bible and their guns and made it sound like that was something so bad.
mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we cling to our guns because we're worried about the tyranny of things like HB 2020. So, yeah, well, I appreciate you coming on, especially on such short notice, and I will let you get back to work. But your input has been wonderful, and I don't know how many people are listening right now, but I will share this show out on Facebook, and I hope people will download it and listen, because what a cool event, and I'm so jealous of you that you got to be there yesterday. And it's kind of like going to a Duck game, you know, with the rain. It just makes
right,
it that
yeah.
much more fun. You feel that much more committed because you're, you know, rain or shine, I'm going to be there.
Yeah. So. Everyone was committed, and it was just so Oregon. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm glad it was a good event. I'm sorry for the people that are listening that support 2020, but that's not what today's show was about. Today's show was decidedly against 2020, but I wanted to put a focus on Timber Unity because I'm so impressed with what they put together in such a short amount of time. And also I'd like to salute those 11 GOP senators that are...
Yes.
Basically on the lam, so to speak. They are looking out for the people of Oregon, because we already voted on cap and trade. We voted it down. And the Democrats don't care. They want to run this through regardless of what the people think, regardless of what their own constituents think. And so I support the senators' walkout absolutely 100%. And I hope they stay away. Don't trust these people. Peter, you know, I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to let you go, and we're going to go to break. But Peter Courtney was asked by a representative of Timber Unity, what will you do? What are we going to do, rather, when all of our jobs are gone? And he said to them, you will all move to town and get green jobs. Is that not the most disrespectful thing you've ever heard?
Pretty disrespectful.
I was floored by that response. I mean, they don't care. They really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They want this. They want the power. They want the control. And they really don't care about the will of the people. And so I appreciate you sharing everything you did with us, Tamara. And thank you again for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
Absolutely. Well, get back to work. I don't want to get you fired, but I appreciate your input, and thanks for calling in on short notice.
All right. Take care, buddy.
You too.
See ya.
All right. So, again, that was a friend of mine, Tamara Smith, letting us know what happened at that Timber Unity protest yesterday. And I've got a few more things that we can, a few more points we can hit about this, but I think we'll do that after the break. So we'll take a break here and come back with more about Timber Unity. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. A federal judge blocked an Indiana law that would ban a second trimester abortion procedure. It happened today. This ruling comes down just days before the law was set to come into force. The order putting the Indiana law on hold was released hours after the U.S. Supreme Court declined to revive a similar law in Alabama. Speaking of the court, the justices are adding a high-stakes immigration case to its election year agenda. The justices saying today they will decide whether President Trump can terminate an Obama-era program that shields young migrants from deportation. A 23-year-old college student who went missing 11 days ago after being last seen in Salt Lake City Park at 3 a.m. in the morning was the victim of a kidnapping and homicide. A 31-year-old man has been arrested this morning and is being charged with aggravated murder and kidnapping. And U.S. women's soccer team beat France 2-1. This is SRN News.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. The economy grew at a healthy 3.1% rate during the first 3 months of this year. Economist Hugh Johnson says there are two reasons.
One is that U.S. manufacturers, of course, tried to get a lot sold to other countries around the world, so you saw a big increase in exports. And the second thing you saw is you saw a fairly significant decline or moderation, shall we say, in the import numbers.
And more Americans signed contracts to purchase homes in May.
The National Association of Realtors says that its pending home sales index rose 1.1% to a reading of 105.4. Meanwhile, existing home sales, the bulk of the market, rebounded in May.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Very slight movements on Wall Street again yesterday. S&P up 11, Dow down 10, NASDAQ up 57. With SRN Business, I'm George Bonzani.
Talk. And I want to give one more big thank you to Tamara Smith for calling in and giving us a bit of a recap of the Timber Unity protest event that happened at the Capitol in Salem yesterday. And sounds like by all accounts, from everything I've seen on social media and of course from Tamara reporting to us, the event was probably bigger and better than anyone expected. I know the media gave it pretty short shrift. They tried to ignore it the best they could. And not just the media. You know, I read one report that at one point the ODOT cameras that cover the Capitol were turned off yesterday. So if you went to trip check to look at the cameras to see the crowds and the trucks and the tractors, yeah, you weren't going to see them. They shut the cameras down. So not surprising, but, you know, ridiculous nonetheless. And there's a couple of other things just to kind of recap what we talked about last week a little bit and also a little bit today. The effects of the bill, excuse me. First of all, to start with, fuel prices, gasoline and diesel will go up 22 cents a gallon just right from the beginning. That's the first increase. But natural gas will also be affected. It's going to affect the firewood business. So if you think, well, natural gas is going to go up, so I'm going to burn more fires. Yeah, the price of firewood is going to go up too, because guess what you use to create firewood? You use fossil fuels, which aren't really fossil, but that's a whole nother discussion. so that's going to be affected. In fact, it will cost a family of four an additional $600 a year estimate on top of an additional 4% they'll pay for goods and services. So goods and services will go up 4%. And on top of that, it's going to cost you another $600 a year in things like heating and cooling costs and that kind of increase. So it's, again, it's not that we don't care about the environment. It's that this is onerous. This is not, and the other thing is, it's not going to do anything. And you don't have to take my word for it. Take the experts that helped, the folks that crafted this bill, their own experts described the effect on carbon pollution as imperceptible, meaning insignificant. It's not going to matter. It's just a tax. It's just a power grab. That's all this bill is. I'm sorry. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. We've got a couple minutes left. You can call in 541-299-0498. But this is nothing more than a power grab. It's, and again, as we mentioned when we were talking with Tamara, they're just dismissing the will of the people. We already voted on a cap and trade bill. It went down significantly. It wasn't even close. So even many of the Democrat voters don't want this. And the legislature just wants to cram it down our throats. Just to kind of update one thing, and I it's hard to tell the accuracy of any of this because the media is not really honest on these things, but the Capitol Press reported more than 2,000 trucks, tractors, and other vehicles that converged on the Capitol yesterday, which means, you know, the people, the amount of people had to be, you know, at least double that. You know, there had to be at least 4,000. I would guess it was even more, but, you know, getting hard numbers on that is a tough one. It's a great subject to talk about, but it's a very important thing. This bill needs to go down. And as far as the 11 senators, don't come back. You can't trust these people. Peter Courtney's already shown that he really would do anything to get this passed. And him telling you the bill is dead, don't trust him. Even if you have personal relationships with some of the Democrat senators that are saying, look, we're not going to vote for this. I'm sorry, but they can't be trusted right now. I don't know how else to say it. So that's all I've got on that. I've got a couple other things I want to get before the show runs out here. First of all, of course, we talked at the top of the show. It's Rooster Crow weekend. I want to encourage everybody, get to Rooster Crow, have a good time. The weather is perfect this year. So many years, it's so hot out there, and it's hard to want to be there too long. The weather is perfect this weekend. I would imagine we're going to have a pretty good, you know, the Rooster Crow itself, we're going to come into the higher numbers that we haven't seen in a while as far as number of crows, because those roosters are going to be much more comfortable this year. It's not so stinking hot out there. So get on out to Rooster Crow. It's going to be a great, great weekend. I think I'm going to go check out the car show. I'm not involved with it this year, but I'm interested to see what they're doing. We didn't have one last year, and the Chamber of Commerce is no longer part of the Rooster Crow. So it's a new group of folks that are organizing. There may be some crossover, but definitely some new people that are organizing this year's car show. So I'm really interested to see how that is. That's going to be on Sunday. And of course, there's all the live music at the museum has their, not only their art show, but their bandstand is always where some of the music is going on. So it's always a great weekend for Rogue River to kind of showcase, you know, what we've got here. And lastly, before the show ends, I'm going to put this out here, and I'll probably put it out on social media at some point. I would like Rogue Talk to be more consistent. And for you regular listeners, you know this year, since the first of the year in particular, has been a struggle for me to get regular shows out. And part of the reason for that is while today's show, I did have someone to talk to on the phone, so it was kind of an interview. I really like doing the interviews. And of course, this is a subject that matters to not only all our Oregonians, but it matters here in the Rogue Valley in Southern Oregon. You know, this is it's going to affect a lot of people if that bill goes through. So it was today's show was a pertinent show, but I often get onto political subjects that aren't really what Rogue Talk is supposed to be. So I'm looking for some help, and at this point it doesn't pay anything. Maybe in the future it could, and we can definitely work toward that. I'm looking for some help booking shows. So if you have ideas for shows, you know people that would be a good interview, maybe you would be a good interview, or you would like to maybe help with the show, help me schedule interviews, reach out to me. I'm on Facebook, Rogue Talk on Facebook, or you can send an email, put Rogue Talk in the subject line, feedback@943thebridge.com. But definitely would like to make this more consistent and get some help. But that's all the time I've got. I'll see you at Rooster Crow. Be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.